there's a myth that goes along with Michael Jordan that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and LeBron is on equal footing in my mind with the great 23.
Definitely a Browns fan till the end, kind of like a rite of passage when you're born in Cleveland. You just can't let that go. You all get hope for the Browns.
Hey, why do you think Arnold took Columbus to hold the Arnold? That's the second largest sporting event in the world. Me and I always kid, we were born and raised in Ohio, and this is where we raised our families. Ohio is such a hotbed in the NPC.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With the OSU Buckeyes right smack in the middle of Columbus, you know, during football season, it's hard not to be a fan. The whole city shuts down on Saturdays.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins!
I love boxing. I love wrestling. Put them both together, and then other martial arts, you know, the jiu-jitsu, add in the kickboxing. It's just the grind. I like the grind, and I just like challenging myself. Fighting is the most primal thing that today that we have.
The outpouring of love from Mark Coleman has been great.
Finally, Ohio is united in hockey. It's always a tough sell with the Avalanche being the farm team for the Cleveland organization.
I love listening to With an Ohio Bias podcast, and as always, go Jackets.
Blue Jackets hockey is something exciting and something that people want to get behind. I really couldn't even put into words the way people have taken to the fifth line.
The news stories of athletes committing violence against women is just too much.
If Pete Rose was a better gambler, he wouldn't have been in all this problem.
I love the name of the show, With an Ohio Bias.
Do it. I mean, 0-16 is pretty unacceptable when you've been drafting in the beginning of the, you know, for the last 5 years at the front of the draft. You know, hey, whatever. To each their own. It's kind of like it'll be like the Cleveland Browns fans' version of Standing Rock. You know, they can have a parade in 20-degree weather protesting how bad our pipeline from the draft is.
You know I'm picking the Buckeyes. I've been saying all the things you just said all year long. You know, people think Alabama's the best team in the country. We're going to find out.
Mariota just flings that one down the left side of the field. Intercepted by Eli Apple at the 25. And Apple will go to the ground at the 32, and that's it. Ohio State national champions for the 8th time. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving's up. It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown. And the Cavaliers by 3. Love picks up Curry. Curry steps back, fakes a 3, drives again, it's up a 3. Rebound James with 30 seconds remaining.
What a spectacular job by Love. Trying to stay with Curry, catches one dribble, steps back, puts up a 3. Won't go, rebound tip taken by Spades, final seconds. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. Show 119, Cavs Full of Drama podcast. I am D, Cleveland born and raised, Buckeye born and bred.
I'm Jake from Youngstown C-Bus. We're still talking your world champions of the world.
And Garrett Staples is with us on this Cavs podcast. Garrett, say hello to the good people.
Garrett, Ashtabula, Ohio. Let's talk some of these Cavs, man. It's been interesting. A lot of hot topics.
Yeah, we're going to get into this podcast. I mean, basically, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to decide, should we be blaming anybody for this championship hangover and the problems that come in a position we've never been before? We're going to try to see if the Cavs drama is anything close to the drama going on in Chicago with the Bulls and Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler and, of course, Rajon Rondo, who might be a Cavs addition. Speaking of additions, we'll look to see if the Cavs roster changed. We'll talk about whether the Cavs are actually spending enough as the highest payroll in the NBA. And also, too, we'll look at if the Melo trade and the rumors come to fruition, how that'll affect the NBA. And, of course, look at the All-Star game. We say congrats to Kevin Love and some of the big snubs out there. Let's get into this. We know the Bulls are having some issues out there in Chicago, and the only reason I kind of match it to the Cavs drama, it seems like the NBA just turned into a soap opera overnight in the last week or so. The Chicago Bulls having issues with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade calling people out, Jimmy Butler taking himself out of a game, and then Rajon Rondo firing back talking about his vets. Everybody's aware of the comments that LeBron James has made about the Cavs not having a point guard and not having a playmaker. But then it got up to another level with the Windhorst story saying that LeBron feels like the Cavs haven't spent enough. And actually LeBron in his own comments named names with Ray Felton and Michael Beasley. What's your take? Do you think the Bulls drama is actually worse than the Cavs? And then how deep does this Cavs drama really go?
Oh, the Bulls drama is way worse than what the Cavs got going on. Their issue is their head coach in their front office. I mean, Fred Hoiberg is definitely over his head here. And over his skis. And then the front office didn't do him any favors, bringing in Rajon Rondo, who is notoriously a team killer, especially in the locker room. Dwayne Wade, it was a nice story, and I see what they were trying to do on a public relations standpoint, but he's not the type of player this team needs right now. Jimmy Butler is kind of caught in the middle. Is he the leader of this team? So, to me, the Bulls drama is way worse. Listen, we're still the world champions. We still have LeBron James, and we're not losing him. So have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. You know, it seems like every year this drama just pops up out of nowhere. It's a much to do about nothing in my mind. This is a team that needs to get to the All-Star break that played into June of last year, came out of the gate firing on all cylinders, was absolutely fine, and now we're struggling a little bit. The biggest issue I have is that open roster spot. It's just a bad look. I mean, fill it with someone at least. I don't see this team making a major move. Dan Gilbert spent more money than any owner in the history of the NBA in the last couple of years. It's not his fault J.R. Smith ended up hurt for the last 8 weeks or 3 months, whatever it's going to end up being. So you lost a lot of offense in your ancillary stuff there, one of your best on-the-ball defenders as well. It's a situation where we just got to kind of get through it. Are there some moves to be made? Sure there are. I mean, I think losing J.R. really hurt, and there's always been that need for a backup point guard since they let Dele go. But they weren't going to – they made the right move by not reselling Dellavedova. He's not worth that money, and you're seeing it now in Milwaukee. What we do miss, and I think we need to find the role player that replaces the energy that Dellavedova brought off the bench, the energy that Anderson brought off the bench when he was here. We don't have that guy that comes in and can spark a team with the second unit right now. So I think that's what LeBron's talking about. And maybe you can find the point guard and that guy in the same person. And then the only other thing that I really see that this team needs at this point, and they brought in Chris Burnham to be that very small piece, but a key piece where you could bring him off and you could bring some toughness into the lineup. And if someone was screwing with LeBron or Kyrie, you could send a message because you got six fouls with Chris Anderson. We had it with Kendrick Perkins as well. And so I think that's the other guy that we need. But we're talking about two very mediocre moves that need to be made. It's just got to be the right people. As far as Rondo goes coming here, it would be the only situation that would work for him, and I think could work well because of the strong leadership. And there's no doubt whose team this is. But at the same time, why take that risk? There's other guys out there that you can go get that are going to be just as serviceable. And what are we really talking about here as a backup point guard? 18 minutes a game to try to be effective? Do you want to risk bringing a Rajon Rondo into this situation rather than just go out and find someone who could be serviceable doing that?
You have more of a tumultuous situation when you're talking about Chicago. And you're just looking at that front office, which is, I don't know, historically since MJ left, I think they ended their dynasty too early. So you shouldn't have let Thibodeau go. He was still the right coach for that team, and he actually got them to play above their actual level, their actual talent level, I believe. And like Jake was saying, as far as you're talking about Dwayne Wade, it's a great story as far as a hometown kid coming back home. How much left does Wade have in the tank? We don't know. He's looked better. He's been a little bit more healthier as of late. But Rondo and Wade, neither one is a decent consistent perimeter shooter. So you kind of put you put that team in a catch 22 again. And when you look at Jimmy Butler, he's really having to tote that load by himself again. And to me personally, I think if you were really Chicago, they really should have did everything they could have when they had Thibodeau and they had their team with Noah and Rose and all of them back then. You should have tried to land Carmelo Anthony out of kind of way. And now look at Carmelo, where he's not saying it, but, you know, just the rift that they're having between Phil Jackson and Carmelo, he should have been in Chicago. But now you can even make an argument that I could possibly see maybe a move with, you know, you have Birdman out and they're looking for a backup point guard. But I could see maybe somewhere where you could try to make a deal for Carmelo, but I would definitely not make that move to trade Kevin Love it's not worth it to trade him to New York. But to make a long story short, I look at Chicago and I look at that situation and it is toxic. And you kind of have two of the same kind of guards. The front court isn't the greatest. And you have a college coach who's been thrust upon into an NBA level coaching deal, and it's not working. It's not working out there. And then when you take in consideration Cleveland's little woes, I mean, it's coming down to, you know, just injuries where you have – I look at JR's situation. I look at he didn't sign until late. And LeBron, he took so long to get his deal signed. And JR was, you know, he was just kind of in limbo, and he didn't sign until late. He kind of missed training camp. And I think those are the effects that you're having right now, where he wasn't, you know, I don't know, maybe basketball shape or basketball ready. And then during the season, he gets injured. And that's the issues that they're having now, is just the depth. But one thing that I do have an issue with the Cavs right now is, even with these younger guys, you develop your younger players during the regular season. And a guy like Kay Felder, you know, I look at that guy Liggins, he's getting more time than McRae. And I feel McRae and Felder and some of those guys on your bench, you need to play those guys. You need to give them some more time. Let them get their minutes. If you start developing these guys and letting them play during the regular season, then they become an asset that you can trust during playoff time. If you're already over the luxury tax and you can't go out and make some of those moves. But as far as Rajon Rondo coming to Cleveland, I don't believe so. I think like Jake said, he's more of a cancer and kind of hurts your program. I mean, I'd look at Rio, Mario Chalmers, or even a Norris Cole in a backup point guard position. Or, you know, that would really hurt to me quietly is Birdman, where you needed that enforcer down low to kind of help give Tristan a break. And to me, you haven't replaced, and I didn't like that letting him go. I thought he was still a viable option. As far as Timofey Mozgov guy, you know, I know he signed that big deal. He went to sign that big money in free agency to go to L.A., but you need a guy like that on your roster. So now I think with that position, I think you need to try to find a big or like LeBron was saying, maybe another small forward for when he goes on the bench. You can have a guy who can legitimately put the ball on the floor and kind of get to the basket and create things, you know, because I think really you only have about real two legit playmakers who can do something with the ball in their hand, and that's LeBron and that's Kyrie. And I think you need that third playmaker, somebody who can do something off the bounce, getting to the basket and creating for someone else on that second team. And that's what I think they really do lack. So it'll be interesting to see what David Griffin does before trade deadline. I don't know if they bring in two players, if they can find a way to do that. But at the least, you know, to fill that free roster spot that Jake was talking about, you need to bring in at least one other playmaker.
the Cavs and the Bulls situations mirror each other just based on the fact that you guys made the points. It's front office, and then it's also the star players. But the reason I wanted to talk about the Bulls is just because the Jimmy Butler antics. I think this guy has exposed himself as might being one of the worst divas in the NBA with that stunt he pulled the other night. Everybody's all over Grayson Allen for what he's doing and being an amateur athlete. To see an NBA player take himself out of a game after being upset about a foul call and undermine his coach like that is one of the worst things you can see in professional sports. And then you have, you know, young players questioning the veteran Dwayne Wade about practice. And, yeah, we're talking about practice, the old Allen Iverson line. You know, that team is in a tailspin like you guys have for all the other reasons that you guys have said. So, yeah, it's no question that it's worse. The Cavs' problems are married to two things. For it to come out and somebody say about spending is the issue, I always like try to look between the lines and don't let my anger just get me upset, because you hear spending and you think about what we know and what's happened with, you know, everything it took to get the championship and, you know, the last couple of years with the Cavaliers, even before LeBron came back. That's not the issue. It's about spending wisely and getting the talent that you need. And I think that was the most important part of that article, was that LeBron James actually named names of guys who took the veterans minimum. And, you know, yeah, he's throwing the young guys on the bus that you guys talked about, and Liggins and McRae, but this team would be so much better with Ray Felton and Mike Beasley. I know that's easy to say and everything like that. Yada, yada, yada. The loss of Dellavedova and everything else, the balance of this, and who's really to blame with the Cavs situation? Everybody. Because Ty Lue's not managing the minutes right. He doesn't have a true rotation going right now. He doesn't trust a unit coming off of that bench. Remember, it's not about – I know you guys talk about – Jake, you're talking about the energy. You need a unit, though, that can set the table. Okay, they got to come back. They're down 20. Okay, the second unit's going to get it to 10. Sometimes one guy can't spark that, but over an 82-game season, and that bench unit is the one that really does that. And I know the injuries have hurt the rotation. The fact that David Griffin thought that he could get by, and I think this is where it was a magnifying glass put on the marriage that the Cavs have with LeBron's legacy and the Cavs franchise being successful, not being one and the same right here. LeBron wants immediate gratification, and I think that's the frustration that came out. And he's not wrong for that. Plus, we don't know what was promised to him in the meeting when he decided to come back to Cleveland with David Griffin, as much as everybody's talked about it. Once again, it's not spending. It's spending wisely. So when you have David Griffin trying to make a decision and trying to weigh the Cavs' future with saying, okay, we're going to go with a Kay Felder, a Liggins, and those guys, and we'll keep the money off and keep flexibility. That's why the open roster spot is there too, Jay. It's the flexibility of being able to bring other people in. I think that's where, you know, everybody's to blame with the Cavs. So Ty Lue's not, you know, trusting the young players and giving minutes to, you know, full. And I get upset, and I know, Jake, you get upset about this too. And LeBron's playing way too many minutes. LeBron was in the game the other night against the Nets when they were up by 30 with 8 minutes to go. Yeah. Not 30, but they were up by 25 with eight minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Why is he in the game at that point? Even if they lose that game, let him sit. I know it has to be a pushback from LeBron himself too. So you get all these factors in. Yeah, it looks bad. Yes, we're all frustrated. But the best thing that happened out of all this is a guy that I never thought would be the Cavs saving grace, and he's not even playing right now. The third quarter of that Nets game, J.R. Smith took to the mic, and he said everything that needed to be said about this situation with the Cavs. He said the Cavs need to look in the mirror and do what they can do better, and as individual defense, stop relying. And I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it basically is the exact word. He said, play better individual defense and stop relying so much on help defense. So we know the Cavs need another big. They might need another point guard, but that's something that they can do to be better. The other thing that I think the Cavs could do, this is just my personal opinion, is set better screens just on offense. It just literally, I know they don't have that big guy to open it up, but that's something else they could do. The other part of J.R. Smith's comments was very telling, and I think he was speaking exactly about LeBron James. He said that, you know, you've got to talk to people and communicate effectively. You know, if I was in there, I would have told him to just, you know, talk to a guy. Because the way that LeBron handled the situation, his frustration, wasn't productive for the Cavs. But I think he's setting it up to make sure that the Cavs are aggressive here going to the end of the trade deadline. There's only one more point that I want to make on this. LeBron James When we talk about that marriage of the franchise versus his legacy, he hurt the franchise's ability to help his legacy. And it's a small point, but it just is a point that bears making. Negotiating is all about where you have, you know, element of surprise. You know, nobody thought until LeBron came out and said it that the Cavs really – I mean, we all knew as diehard Cavs fans, but how many people around the league were thinking, damn, the Cavs really need to add so much more? You know, until LeBron came out and said that, now it becomes a glaring weakness, and now David Griffin has to go to the negotiating table, not from a position of being an NBA champion, but from a position of a champion desperate trying to go back-to-back.
The other part of that, too, is where LeBron has cut his own throat a bit is in negotiating, is the demands that he put out there for Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, and we're seeing it now. You know, you don't have money because you paid these guys. And you can make the argument that Tristan's well worth it, and that's fine. And JR is well worth it, that's fine. But LeBron went out into the public and said, these guys are getting their money. And there was no negotiation. It was either their money or they're going to walk or they're not going to play. LeBron's always been passive aggressive with this thing in the way he leads and the way he deals with teammates and coaches and front offices. But to me, there's blame for everyone in this. You know, there's blame for Griffin for maybe overspending in certain spots. And he's, I feel like he's the least to blame because he's kind of caught in the middle of everything. And he's done, the guy's done a tremendous job. I mean, bottom line, he's turned this team into a world champion. So what can you say about that? But Bron's right. There's a window right now, and he's playing 43 to 45 minutes a game, which is asinine at this point of his career. He's right. You've got to get the right people in here, but you got to let the people do their job as well. I think it was unnecessary for LeBron to go out there and do it. People know that what's going on and what we need. And I think it's just frustration, like I said, in getting to the All-Star break. It seems like every year LeBron create some drama somehow this way. As far as Raymond Felton goes, I mean, that's a pipe dream at this point now because Chris Paul's out. They're not gonna get rid of one of their point guards.
That goes back to the beginning of the season.
Right.
When Brian made those comments, he was talking about the off season. Those guys signed for the veterans minimum during the training camp time. They were still out there. So.
Okay. And then the Carmelo thing. You know, I mean, that would be a freaking nightmare. That would you talk about guys that don't want to play defense. Could you imagine throwing him out there? I mean, the guy, what is he now? I mean, the team that he needs to go to, and I would imagine after last night, it'll be happening sometime this week, is he'll end up with the Clippers because that team desperately needs something else to help them to have any chance at trying to win the Western Conference.
Yeah, change of scenery does a lot for a player. I'll say this on Melo. I don't think he's the answer for the Cavs, but I do think he could play well for the Cavs. I think the guy, when he's motivated, we've seen if you give me Olympics Carmelo Anthony, I think you could cut down the nets with almost any roster in the NBA. But you don't get that,
exactly,
you know, in the regular season with Melo. So you know what I mean? But if he was motivated to play with the LeBron James, or we'll see what happens, because I do agree with you. I think he's headed to the Clippers. That's what everything looks like with these rumors. They're looking for a third party to complete the deal. Most of the times, the situation has been all on him. So I think he'll flourish in a system where it's not all on him.
I can agree with that for sure. I think he could be effective there. I just don't think it would work well in Cleveland, and especially if you've got to move Kevin Love. And we're just seeing now a group of players that have been together for 3 years and them knowing where each other are going to be and all that other stuff that we were complaining about up till last year winning a championship. Is now starting to come into place, and I just feel like everybody's freaking out over 2 weeks' worth of basketball.
Well, I think J.R. Smith's comments, I can't speak to it again. It's so amazing to me that it came from J.R. Smith. You know, he sat down, and I'm referring to the third quarter, he sat down with Austin Carr and Fred McLeod during the Cavs broadcast against the Nets, and he was saying these things, was just amazing. And I could not find it. I was trying to find it, but it was one of those things you had to watch the game live. I'm going to try to keep finding it. Maybe I can add it to the post, but it was amazing to hear him speak the truth about what's going on with the Cavs, and he said everything's going to be okay. Now, a quick update on him. He's a ways away. He's just now being able to run and stuff like that, but he can't do anything. He's still in a cast with that. So I think we won't see that guy till April. I think we will see the Cavs roster change, though. When it comes to David Griffin, I think he is to blame when it comes to trying to put the franchise's needs, which is his job, in front of LeBron's legacy, just because, you know, to count on a Kay Felder, which it made no sense for the Cavs to give up that pick and then trade back into the draft and get that. And then you go back in history, and it's hindsight now, but the Cavs could have signed Matthew Dellavedova when they were waiting. And Jake, you made the point they were being held over a barrel trying to see what they had to give Chris Tristan. But Dellavedova just wanted 3 years at $12 million at that time. And that salary actually fit right now within the Cavs structure with the way that they spend money, you know. If you look at not having guaranteeing Liggins' contract, and I think that was the catalyst that set LeBron off. He thought that maybe they weren't going to guarantee Liggins' contract, which would have opened up more flexibility for the Cavs too. So these are the things you quibble about when you have a championship basketball team, and these are the problems you have that in a situation where we've never been here before. So I am actually encouraged. I think the roster will change. I don't know what that's going to be. I'll throw one more guy out there. Andre Miller is out there on the block. Maybe we bring him back and return him to Cleveland. But I don't know who else will come and join this Cavs team. But I'm definitely excited about the Cavs, especially in the matchup they look to with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think Jameer Nelson and DJ Augustine are also viable options. I mean, there's guys out there, and there's going to be veterans that are going to be cut at the trade deadline as well. So maybe that's where you find these guys. But to think to even trade a guy like Iman Shumpert to fill a hole, I don't think it's the right move to do.
Well, we say congratulations to Kevin Love being an all-star. You talked about his play and not wanting to trade him. I think that's why he got voted to the all-star reserves. But we have some big snubs. I mean, we think about the East with Paul Millsap over Joel Embiid, Trust the Process, who's one of the most popular players in the NBA and actually has put the numbers up, limited minutes. And then also, too, Damian Lillard and McCollum out there on the West Coast being pushed off for some of the centers out there.
And what is it, Russell Westbrook, he's not starting? Is that what I'm understanding?
To the new exciting voting that the NBA has instituted.
That's a joke, yeah.
How about LeBron was left off of 145 players' ballots?
That's just straight hate and the savage life.
Ain't it? Ain't it? Isn't that crazy?
All right, well, that's going to be our Cavs podcast for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Jake, get the plugs in.
Listen to scoreonair.com every Monday and Thursday, Monday 3 to 5, Thursday 4 to 6, with an Ohio Bias Live with me and Aaron Campbell on Thursday, and Aaron holds it down on the Monday show. She does a great job. Scoreonair.com, a lot of alternative programming for the sports fans. There's a new show that starts every 2 hours, and it ranges from pro wrestling to Columbus Blue Jackets, national sports talk, local sports talk, a high school show. All that information is on scoreonair.com. Just check out the show pages, and you can pick out the ones you like and watch and listen and do everything you need to do right there at scoreonair.com. And then keep an eye out for evsportsnetwork.com, EV Sports Network. This year is a big year for us. Matt Finkus is on board. Scott Torgerson is on board. Zach Boren, Nick Miller, Mindy Dreher from down here. So a lot of exciting things going on with the EB Sports Network and the EB News Network as well that is debuting here in 2017. I do a show with Zach Boren and Nick Miller called Between the Nuts, and that should return here hopefully in the next couple months over the summer.
Garrett, you know, one thing we got to mention real quick, and I mean, Jake, I don't know if you saw this, but that we talk about Cincinnati and everything, I-71 South. That crosstown shootout definitely delivered. The Bearcats were able to overcome one of the most amazing performances I've seen in a long time in a college basketball game. And Trevin Blewett almost going perfect with 40 points when the Xavier Musketeers fell to the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Electrifying, great game, and awesome. Just single performance by Trevin Blewett. I was ready to cut that game off because you looked at the first half and he shot the lights out the ball. You thought that game, it was going to be very one-sided, but Cincinnati found a way to kind of dig in, and they dominated on the glass, and that's what propelled them, the second chance opportunities, hitting those rebounds and hitting the boards hard.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Garrett, thanks for joining us on the podcast. You'll be hearing more of Garrett on the I-71 South podcast talking all things Bengals.
All things Bengals, and I see you guys up there in 71 North talking the tribe. Right now, it's still rough for us here down here in Big Red Machine Country. You know, we've got some work to do, but hopefully we'll have some more positives here in the next couple of years coming up.
This is probably the year that Homer Bailey fulfills all of his promise, I'm guessing.
We hope. We hope. We hope. That's all we can say.
It was good to see Billy Hamilton and some of the guys at that Crosstown Shootout. We thank you for listening to this podcast. You know we'll be talking Cavs, and it's not always going to be drama, folks, but it does keep it exciting. And so we thank you for listening. This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. As always, go Cavs, defend the land.